Many of us came from the Army. We worked at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, and we were a BRAC location. So it meant either we would have to move to Aberdeen, Maryland, or find other jobs. So many of us decided when this opportunity with VA came along that we actually wanted to continue working. So this type of contracting strategy we were very successful with in the Army. And really what it is we're looking at doing contracting from a more of a strategic viewpoint. And by doing that, we've unveiled what we call T4. And as part of that...
And just to explain, T4 stands for Transformation 21 Total Technology. So
right.
It's one of these acronym kind of things.
Yes, it is. It makes things easier.
Yes, exactly.
And really what we're trying to do is, as VA is trying to transform into the 21st century for the 21st century veteran, we're trying to bring some of the business practices that we used back with us in the Army to bring those practices back to VA. And as part of this, it's we've estimated it to be $12 billion, 5-year, indefinite.
IDIQ, indefinite,
yeah,
and we all get so used to the acronym,
right.
We don't remember what the words stand for.
Right. And so those, we're looking to award up to 15 prime contracts, and through our market research, we have found that we could reserve 4 contracts for service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses, and 3 to veteran-owned small businesses. And what makes that a little bit unique is that if we would set them aside, it means that those companies would have to do more than 50% of the work. And because it's such a large contract, that would be very difficult. So we use this reserve strategy back in the Army, and what happens is it's a two-step process in the selection process. And the first step is we select prime awards regardless of their sizes. So if, in fact, there are service-disabled veteran-owned companies or veteran-owned companies, they could be part of that open competition. And if we actually come up with 4 and 3, we don't go any further. But if we haven't met those 4 and 3, we'll go to the next step, and we'll eliminate all those other businesses besides the service-disabled and veteran-owned, and they'll be in their own little pool. And from there, we'll pick whatever we need to complement to actually come up to those 4 service-disabled and 3 veteran-owned companies.
And so give us a timeline. When do you expect the RFP to actually be on the streets?
The RFP is actually was issued on the 26th of July, and we're expecting proposals back on the 31st of August.
And once again, in order to qualify for this RFP, you'd have to be either a service-disabled veteran or a veteran-owned business.
No, they could also be any size standard. They could be large, but they could also, it really, that at that point, we're not restricting it to any size of business. We're saying any, it's called full and open competition.
Okay.
So we're allowing anybody to bid. They usually have very large teams, what we're accustomed to, and they have all different types of businesses teaming together to work as a prime, to bid as a prime under this solicitation.
And this will be only, this is not a GWAC or a multiple award contract. Well, it is a multiple award contract, but it's not
a multi-agency.
It's not a multi-agency,
no,
not government-wide.
Not at all. This is reserved The primary purpose is for VA, and, to use for services for VA.
And why is it, and what are the complexities with finding specific vendors to with service to either veteran-tied businesses? It seems like, particularly for an organization like VA, it seems like that would be easy, that you wouldn't have to set aside a contract that focuses on this specifically.
Well, many of these, they're small businesses. So what we've, again, we tried to take a more strategic look, and we tried to, in our work statement, try to come up with a very broad statement so that we could satisfy VA's needs, service needs, through this contract. So because there's many small businesses, it would be very difficult for them to do the full breadth of service. So that's why we're looking for teams, teaming-type arrangements, so that they can fulfill all the different service requirements that we will be contracting for.
And the idea is also, it seems, that through this teaming, you also help these veteran businesses get more of a foothold, get more of a build up their strengths.
Yeah, and absolutely. And what we've done is we've put also very aggressive subcontracting goals in place. And because of they're so aggressive, we're actually saying the companies, if they're large businesses that win, that they have to meet those subcontracting of 35%, which is very significant. But what we've found over the past few months as we've done our market research, that oftentimes those prime contractors, once they get their teams together with subcontractors, they don't really give them the business. They say just to win the proposal that these are going to be their goals, but they really don't meet those goals. But what we're doing is we're actually, through the life of the contract, we're going to be monitoring that. And if they do not meet those goals, it's possible that they will not be able to get any follow-on task orders. So this is really important that they, you know, we're looking at this seriously. But the other piece of this is, because we're going to have larger teams, many times we have contractors come and visit and they said, I'm new to VA, how do I get into the business? This is going to be an opportunity because through the life of the contract, they are going to be able to add subcontractors to their teams. So someone that isn't familiar or wants to get into this business or maybe has an innovative idea that they want to bring to VA, this will be their way to do that. They'll be able to join these teams.
It seems like one of the challenges for you guys will be monitoring this to make sure that those stay balanced.
Yes. But we've done this in the past, and we're comfortable that we can continue to do that. We've put metrics in place to monitor that.
And did you work with veteran-owned businesses so they're aware of the program and that they, I mean, was this reach out to them to make sure that they understood the goals and the strategy here?
Yeah, actually what's happened is we started back in December and we put our performance work statement, our draft out for comment. And so then in January, we did our market research, and we've held a variety of industry days. We did that in April. We had actually over 400 contractors attend. 69% of those were small businesses. And then after that, we conducted one-on-one sessions with them where we had almost 240 contractors participate. So they came in and the team met with them one-on-one to actually talk to them about the strategy, hear their concerns and comments. And as a result of that, they become more informed. But at the same time, we're able to take their comments and actually incorporate it into our strategy. So we've had quite a bit of, we also held a pre-solicitation conference in June to go through the RFP, understand what our strategy was, and we had over 300 companies attend. 75% of those were small. So all in all, we've had a lot of outreach to industry. We've responded to well over 1,000 questions.
I know.
So we've, throughout the whole process, we've tried to explain it to them so that they understood what our strategy is, but also listening to them to make sure that we were structuring this in a way that would be something that was beneficial to VA.
Dee Lee, who used to be the head of defense procurement, always described the procurement process as tell people what you're going to do, do it, and then monitor it to make sure you've done that.
Right.
What do you guys do to monitor? How are you guys measuring the success of this procurement strategy?
Well, what we've done is we've actually put in metrics. And what we're trying to do is we have a business process that we're going to bring with us from the Army. We're trying to develop the right IT tools. And through that, those, we actually can monitor when a requirement comes in. We can monitor it. We are able to work with the contractors and do this all electronically. We've done things like a customer satisfaction. We'll be evaluating that, measuring that, our timeliness, what our cycle time was, how we're doing with schedule, our competition, as well as our socioeconomic program support. But also what we'll do is with our contractors, those prime, those 15 contractors that are primes, we'll be meeting with them quarterly to talk about what's going on, what are some of the things they should be looking at, and then every month we'll be working with, meeting with them individually to ensure that they're making their milestones, that they're going along and delivering what they say they're going to deliver.